is the story of the first gospel minister ever to go to China. And I hope that as we hear about Robert Morrison, every heart will be touched by the Lord. Morrison's one of those many great men who most of us know little or nothing about. He was born in Morpeth in Northumberland in 1782, and he had a Christian home. And as a youngster, he was familiar with his Bible and with the Westminster Catechism. When he was 16, he experienced what he called the Great Change. He was personally converted to Christ. He prayed that God would give him saving faith in Christ and deliver him from what he called the burden of sin. He'd left school when he was 14, and he was working in his father's business, making shoe lasts from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And like others you've probably heard about, he managed to read while he was working. By the time he was 20, he was convinced that the Lord wanted him to be a gospel minister, but not in Britain. And it all sounded crazy in 1802. The Napoleonic Wars were raging. His ungodly brothers were putting moral pressure on him not to abandon the family business. And in spite of all, his mind was made up. Mr. Bogue, his teacher at his academy at Gosport, and the London Missionary Society agreed that he should be sent as the first Protestant missionary to China. Now, at that time, China was very much closed to the gospel, and the only people the Chinese would deal with at all were traders from the British East India Company. They had a base at Canton, which is not far from the modern Hong Kong. So when Morrison was 25, he was ordained at the Scottish Church in London. He regarded himself as having been brought up in the Church of Scotland, which of course means that he believed everything that the pastor is about to say tonight. The official policy of the East India Company was to ban missionaries because they were scared that the work of the missionary would anger the people they wanted to trade with. So Morrison's only hope of getting to China at all was on an American ship. At New York, he persuaded the Americans to take him to Canton, to their factory. And apparently, the American ship owner said to him, "Mr. Morrison, you think you're going to make an impression on the entire Chinese Empire, do you?" "No, sir," was the reply, "but I expect God will." He arrived at Canton in 1807 and worked in a cellar out of sight with a Chinese teacher. The first aim, you see, was to learn the Chinese language. He started at 7 a.m. and he finally stopped about 10 every night. Every day seemed pretty much the same because it was such a hard language to learn. And it was there that this lonely man met, in a strange way, a Christian family called the Mortons. And after meeting them and discussing for a while, he became friendly with the daughter of that family, and eventually he married the daughter of that Christian family. And on the very day he was married, an envelope was put in his hand offering him a job with the East India Company, official translator into Chinese with the East India Company. Now he would not have to take a stipend from the Missionary Society. He would have a salary. The company wanted him to make an Anglo-Chinese dictionary and to compile a grammar book. Well, he worked in temperatures which were about 92 degrees Fahrenheit at their lowest and over 100 degrees Fahrenheit at their highest. And at the back of his mind all the time was the great prize that he wouldn't really be just making a dictionary. He would be translating the Bible into Chinese. And after a few years of sheer unremitting hard work, he had 2,000 copies of the New Testament printed. He had 10,000 copies of a tract called The Way of Salvation printed, and 5,000 copies of the Catechism. And as far as anybody knows, the first Chinese to become a Christian was one of the printers. And for those who are interested, his name was Tsai Ik-ho, T-S-A-E-A-K-O, two separate words. He was 27 years old. He was baptized on July 14th, 1814. But remember, in China, there weren't any facilities like this. And in any case, Morrison held the Westminster Confession. Ik-ho sadly had only another 5 years to live, because in 1819 he died of TB. 6 months after the baptism of Ik-ho, Mrs. Morrison and his children, John and Mary, went to England. Morrison plodded on. Try to imagine him in this stuffy room with all his books lit by a candle, and as one observer noticed, he turned one of the volumes of Matthew Henry's commentary on its side so the occasional draught wouldn't blow out the light. His dog, Caesar, by his feet, was the only living thing that kept him company. No wonder he said, "I am weary in the Lord's work, but not of it." To him, it seemed as if one disaster would follow another, because no sooner had his wife returned to Macau, which was a nearby Portuguese island, to rejoin him than she died. But then in 1821, he finished the dictionary, and the East India Company financed the printing of it. There were 6 volumes, each the size of an old family Bible. There were 4,600 pages of it, and 40,000 Chinese words were translated. And after 16 years came the prize of all, the complete Bible in Chinese for the first time, 1823. Morrison now allowed himself the luxury of a furlough in Britain, intended to be a rest, but in fact he went round speaking at hundreds of meetings, including, by the way, one here in Liverpool, where he met a lady called Eliza Armstrong, who became his second wife. Soon he was wanting to go back to China. He began to write a commentary on the Bible in Chinese, and at the same time he was persuading traders to take tracts and Bibles into the heart of China as they sailed up its rivers. His eldest son, John, now came out to help him, and did in fact succeed in the work as official translator of the East India Company. Morrison realized that the Bible would be revised and perfected in the years he would not see, but he knew he had made a start. He died unexpectedly in 1834. He was only 52, and he's buried beside his first wife in Macau. He left behind a college for the Chinese at Malacca, which is in Malaysia, and an embryonic Christian work at Singapore. But supremely, he left that Bible, and an example of dogged determination which remains a challenge to all of us. And in the whole of his 27 years out there, he knew of only 10 Chinese who came to faith in Christ. Faced with obstacles like that, he saw on the day of his arrival lesser men would have turned and gone home then and there. But he knew that if he put his hand to the plough, as he said, he would not loop back. You were to guess at what Morrison thought would be the one thing the church needed most, you might reasonably have said the Bible in Chinese. But in fact, Morrison believed that every Christian's duty was to be a missionary. He believed it was a command, not just for the people who'd gone out to Macau, Malacca, or Canton, but he believed it was a command for every one who names the name of Christ. Let's take that lesson to heart.